Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Hey. We're holding on Daf Mem Dal Rav Beis, about 10 lines from the end of the page. Last word on line is Bakol, or Bechol, at the two dots. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of and in Rakar Satov to the Shir, and also sponsored anonymously in the Zchus of a Refuah Shalema for Shmuel Chaim Ben Gitl, Shav Refuah Shalema, B'soch Shar Chalei Yisrael. So first thing we're going to discuss today is the shovel that they used on Yom HaKippurim and what was unique about that shovel. Then we're going to talk about different types of gold that exist and what the gold that was used for what the gold in the shovel was made from, which of the types of gold that we have, and we have a machlokas about how many different types of gold there actually were. Then the Gemara is going to talk in Amud Aleph about why the Kohen usually goes up the Mizrach of the Mizbeach, and why the Kohen Gadol goes up the middle of the Mizbeach, and also why the Kohen Gadol washes with special pitchers as opposed to washing with the Kior. And then the majority of the daf is going to discuss the sources for and the purposes of the 2, 3, or 4 ma'arachos that they had each and every day on the top of the Mizbeach, and an extra Ma'arach, no matter how many held they had every other day, whether it was 2, 3, or 4, everyone seems told that there's an extra Ma'arach, an extra fire on top of the Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim. So where do we get that extra Ma'arach from? The Gemara is also going to bring the source to take fire for Ketores on Yom HaKippurim and for the menorah each day from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. How do I know that the fire that's used for the Ketores and the fire that's used for lighting the menorah each and every day is taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon? That's going to be at the end of the daf today. So let's begin again about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Mem Dal and Beis. Last run line is Bichol. So the Gemara tells us Bichol Yomos HaKveda VaHayom Kala, that the Mishnah told us that every day the shovel that they would use to take the coals was a heavy shovel, but in Yom HaKippurim they used a lighter shovel. So Tana Bichol Yomos HaGilda Ova VaHayom Rach, because in every other day it was with a much thicker metal. The shovel was made with much thicker metal, and that's why it was so heavy. But on Yom HaKippurim, it was a much thinner metal, it was lighter, so that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't have to schlep something so heavy. He's fasting, he's doing a lot of work that day, so we need to go a little bit easier on him. B'chol Yom HaKitzara V'Yom Aruka, the handle of the shovel each and every day was a short handle, but on Yom Kippur, it was a long handle. My Taima, Kadesh Tez Rosh Kohen Gadol, Masayato, it's easier to carry something with a long handle, that way his arm can help him, can help carry some of the weight of the shovel. So Tana b'chol yom lo ayla niyashtik, that throughout the rest of the year, each and every other day, there wasn't the way Rashi understands what a niyashtik is, there wasn't a ring at the end of the handle of the shovel. Vayom hayla niyashtik, but on Yom HaKippurim there was this ring that was at the end of the shovel in order that it should shake around and rattle around, so that when he would walk with the shovel, it would make some noise. Because the pasuk says, when it talks about the pa'amonim on the bottom of the me'il, it says v'nishma kolo bivo el hakodesh livnei Hashem. So you have this over here as well. The Rebbe Ben Hasagan, that's what Ben Hasagan holds, that you have this niyashtik that makes noise when he goes el hakodesh. The Rambam, interestingly, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, does not mention this chiluk. So in the Sefer Mayim Chayim on the Rambam, he explains, because it's Divrei Ben Hasagan, so it sounds like it's only a das yachid, and it's not necessarily agreed upon by everybody. So since it's only a das yachid, that's why the Rambam doesn't quote it. The problem is that the Yerushalmi quotes this chiluk bistama without saying a name of a das yachid that says this chiluk. So the Mefarshei Rambam work on it, why it is that the Rambam doesn't have this chiluk. But all this is Rashi's explanation of what this ni'ashtik is, that it's a ring at the end of the shovel that makes noise, so that everyone will realize you can hear the sounds of the Kohen Gadol moving around. The Ritva points out that even though this pasuk that speaks about v'nishma kol b'vol hakodesh l'vnei Hashem, the pasuk that talks about v'nishma kolo is about the me'il, the cham derived from the me'il, that you do the same thing with the shovel, because Yom HaKippurim, he's not wearing the me'il. He's only wearing the big day lavan when he goes l'fnai v'lifnim. So in order to make noise as he's walking, we can't rely on the me'il that has the bells at the bottom of it. However, not all Rishonim agree that that's what the ni'ashtik is. If you look at Tosos in Divrei Maskil B'chol Yom, he quotes the Girsa in the Yerushalmi that B'chol Yom lo hayo l'nartik, v'ayom hayo l'nartik some type of covering of the shovel so that he doesn't burn himself, meaning that it's like some type of leather covering over the shovel. So because if you're holding a metal clee, and there are coals in that metal clee, you're going to burn your hand. Sometimes if you have good silver cutlery and you're eating a hot soup, so it hurts your hand to hold the spoon, because we have a principle in halacha, cham k'tzaso, cham kulo. It's not a principle, not just a principle in halacha. It may or may not be a principle in halacha, but it's certainly a principle in metzias, that cham k'tzaso, cham kulo. That heat is metal is a conductor of heat. So that's what Tosfos points out. Because of cham k'tzaso, cham kulo, certainly you're going to burn your hands. So a major question in halacha, whether we say cham k'tzaso, cham kulo. Meaning, if let's say I dip a metal spoon, into a treifa soup, but only the tip of the spoon went into the treifa soup. So do I assume that the blios now go through the entire spoon and that the entire spoon is treif? Or no, maybe only that little tip of the spoon is treif. And maybe when I kasher it, I only need to kasher the tip of the spoon. I don't need to kasher the entire spoon. So that's a machlokas in Yerodeyan, some kuv in Hilchas Hechsher Kalim, whether you have to kasher the entire thing. Do we assume cham k'tzaso cham kula, that the blios therefore travel throughout the entire spoon? Or do we assume that the blios don't travel throughout the entire spoon, that only the part? So certainly everyone agrees that the metzius, though, and over here it's not a matter of halacha, over here it's a matter of metzius, that cham k'tzaso cham kulo, so he's going to burn his hand if he carries such a shovel. And that's why Tosa says that it must be that they had some sort of covering on the handle of the shovel in order that he didn't burn himself, and that's what the Gemara is referring to. The Ritva says differently. The Ritva quotes in the name of the Gaonim that it means that they had some sort of covering over the shovel. And that's what Rabbeinu Chananel says as well. And the reason is, two reasons the Ritva suggests. Either that the Gechalim should not become extinguished because they're sitting there for a while in the shovel, so you keep them covered so that they won't become extinguished, or that when he's walking, the heat of the Gechalim could burn his face, so they would cover the shovel so the heat of the Gechalim won't go into his face as he's walking and creating like a little bit of a wind that's going to cause the heat of the shovel to go right into his face. The Me'iri says, no, what we're referring to over here is a round bottom of the shovel, not a covering of the shovel. So different shitos in Rishonim, them exactly what we're describing over here when we say that the shovel had a ni'ashtik. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah went on to say, b'chol yom haya zahava yarok, that the rest of the year, the shovel that he would use was not red, it was yarok. Yarok in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, means green. But in Gemara, in Mishnayis, when the Mishnayis want to describe something that's green, they say yarok kikarti. You have a Masech HaSukkah, when they describe an esrog that's yarok kikarti, that's no good. If it's green like a leek, means a very dark, strong green. Yarok covers many different shades. It's like a lightish green, a yellowish color. So we're not talking about green gold, Mestamah, we're talking about yellow gold. That normally it would be made out of a yellow gold. So, but on Yom HaKippurim, it was made out of more of a red gold. So, Amar Rav Chista, Shiva Zahavim Hein. There are seven types of gold. There's Zahav, Vizav Tov, Vizav Ophir, Vizav Mufaz, Vizav Shachut, Vizav Sagur, Vizav Parvayim. So, those are the seven types of gold. Zahav, Vizav Tov are two types of gold to Chsiv, because the Pasuk tells us, Uzav Aretzahi Tov. So, it sounds like there's a Zahav She'eno Tov, because it describes a particular type of Zav that's Zav Tov. So there's Zav Stam and there's Zav Tov. Then you have a third type of Zav, Zav Ophir. What does that mean? Da'asime Ophir. It comes from a place called Ophir. And then Zav Mufaz is also a place that the Pasuk describes. Vayasa Melech Kisei Shein Gadol Ve'etzapehu Zav Mufaz, that the Pasuk describes in Sefer Melachim Aleph, a type of Zav called Zav Mufaz. And why is it called Zav Mufaz? Shadom Lepaz, because it's like a pearl, it's like a gem, it shines like a gem. Zav Shachut, and Zav Shachut means, why is it called Zav Shachut? Because Shenitva Kuchut, meaning we find the Psukim describes such a Zav Shachut, when Shlomo Melech makes the shields for his army, it says, Ve'yasa Melech Shlomo Masayim Tzina Zav Shachut. So it's called that because Shenitva Kuchut, it could be spun like a strand, like a thread. Then the sixth type is Zav Sagur. Zav Sagur is also described in the Navi when the the house that Shlomo HaMelech built, that's called Beis Yar HaLevanon. It says V'chol Klei Beis Yar HaLevanon Zohav Sagur. All the kelim of the house are made of Zohav Sagur. What Zohav Sagur? B'Shah Sheniftach Kol HaChanuyos Niskaros. When they would open up a store that would sell Zohav Sagur, all the other stores that were selling gold would close down because everyone wanted this gold, so no one would be interested in buying any other gold. That's why it's called Zohav Sagur. The Acharon point out it should have been called Zohav Soger, that it closes the other store. Sogur sounds like it itself is being closed. So they suggest that maybe it means that you didn't have to keep the store open for too long because it would sell out immediately. So it's Sogur, it closes itself off right away as well. Zav Parvayim, and what Zav Parvayim? It's also identified by the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Beis. It describes that Vayitzaf es habayis even yukar l'tiveres v'azav zahav parvayim. So shadom l'dam haparim, because it's the color of the gold is similar to the dam haparim. So Rav Ashi Yomar Chamishay. Rav Ashi says, no, there aren't seven types of gold. There are five types of gold. We call chad v'chad, ispe zav zav tov. And within each type of gold, there are two qualities. There's lower quality and higher quality. So zav and zav tov aren't two categories of gold. There are only five categories of gold. But within each one, there are two classes within each category. There's zav and there's zav tov. L'maynaf kamina, how many types are there? There's a lot more than five. There's a lot more than seven. It's like a continuum. There's a whole spectrum of different types of gold. So the Ma'ariv Kamina that there are five or seven, Sir Zilberstein in Chashuki Chemet says, oh, very simple, Mekach Umemker, that if a person says, I'm going to sell you, you want to buy a spoon of each type of gold, I'm going to sell you one of each type of gold. How much is it going to cost? And they give a price. So how many spoons does he have to give? Does he have to give you five or does he have to give seven? So for Mekach Umemker, what do people assume when they describe one of each type, because there's so many types, so that's the machlokas. Tanya Amiyachim of Abraisa, it says, like Rav Chisda, that the reason Dam Parvim is called Dam Parvim, B'chol Yom Ha'Yisuzava Yarok V'Yom Edom, because every other day the shovel was made out of a yellow gold, and in Yom Kippur it was made out of a red gold, V'Hainu Zav Parvayim, and that's the Zav Parvayim, Shadome L'Dam HaParim, because it's similar to the Dam HaParim. The reason that in Yom Kippur they wanted to use a shovel that was made out of Zav Parvayim, Tos Yom Tov explains, and the Gevurah Sari explained, one of two reasons. Either because it was the best, the highest quality of all the golds, and the raya is from the fact that Rav Chisda lists the seven types of gold, Mistami's going Zelamayla Mizeh, he's going up in class as he's describing them, and the last one is Zav Parvayim, so that's the most chashuv of all of them. So because of the covered Yom HaKodesh and the covered of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they wanted to use the fanciest gold, the highest level gold, when they go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or it could be, since it's Dome L'Dam HaPar, so it makes sense, because they can go L'Fnai V'Lefnim, where the Dam HaPar is also going to be brought, L'Fnai V'Lefnim. So it matches better with everything that they're doing, so they would use such a gold. The Acharonim have trouble with the first approach, because on the list, and not last on the list, was the Zav Sagur, which we said, when they were selling that, all the other stores were closed, no one was interested in any other type of gold. So it sounds like that's the highest level gold, not the Zav Parvayim. So maybe the other interpretation is more correct. Okay, so the Gemara now discusses the reason for the chiluk between the Ketores every day and the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim, at least as far as the dakus of the Ketores, of how finely ground it was. B'chol Yom Makrav Pras Shachris, B'chol Yom Ha'isa Daka, V'ayom Daka Min HaDaka. Every day was finely ground, but on Yom Kippur it was very finely ground. So Tan Rabbanan, when it describes when the Torah describes the Ketores in Yom HaKippurim, it describes Daka. So Mata Malomar, why? What's the pasuk tell me when it says Daka V'alo? After all, when it comes to the Ketores each and every day, it already said v'shachakti mena hadek, that you already have to grind it up very finely. So why would it say it again on Yom HaKippurim? Elahavi daka min hadaka. It must be telling me that in Yom Kippur you have to put it in the grinder again, grind it up to make it extra fine. That's why it says it twice. That's why it has to repeat that it's daka on Yom HaKippurim, even though it already said that it's daka throughout the rest of the year. The Briska Rav writes that we don't find a shear of the dakus. How dak does it have to be? How finely ground does it have to be? And how finely ground on Yom HaKippurim does it have to be? So he says the impression that you get is that this is not a din in the Chafza. It's not a din in how fine the ground has to be, it's a din in the Maisa, that you need to do another grinding, Dafka for Yom HaKippur. No matter how many times you've already ground it finely, you grind it even finer for Yom HaKippur. But it's not a din in the Chafza, it's a din in the Maisa. That's how the Briska Rav understands. Sfasemes raised the question, what happens normally when the Torah tells me something twice? Meaning the Torah tells me something once over here, it tells me that it has to be Daka throughout the rest of the year, and now it tells it to me again when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. So normally we don't just say that it has to be more of the same, meaning grind it, and then grind it again, then do it again. Normally if the Torah tells me something twice, we assume Shana Alav HaKasuv La'akev, that if the Torah repeats something, that tells me a din, that that din is now Ma'akev. So why didn't the Gemara just say that the Torah wrote Daka and Yom HaKippurim to tell me that the din of Daka is Ma'akev, but Peshayim Mos HaShana, where it only says it once, it's not going to be Ma'akev. So he says it could be that the Gemara knew that even Besharim Mos HaShana it is Ma'akev. So it can't be that the extra time it says it in Yom HaKippurim is telling me that it's Dafka Ma'akev on Yom HaKippurim. There must be some other limud that it's even Ma'akev throughout the rest of the year, which frees up the extra time it says Yom HaKippurim to tell me to do it again. Throughout the year, the Kladim would go up on the right, on the eastern side of the Kevesh. That whenever you turn in the Beis Hamikdash, you should turn toward the right, toward the Mizrach, and for that reason you'd go up on the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, because when you go up on the Kevesh, he's facing north, the Mizrach is to his right, so when you get to the Rosh HaMizbeach, he would turn to his right until he got to the Makom Maracha. So that's why they'd go up on the eastern side of the Kevesh, because if they'd go up in the middle of the Kevesh, when they got to the top of the Mizbeach and they would turn right, they would have to go the whole length of the Kevesh, the whole width of the Kevesh as well, and that's not the Kavod HaMizbeach, to just be wandering around on top of the Mizbeach. No, you take the shortest possible route. The Mizbeach is not your home where you could just wander around wherever you want. You take the shortest possible route because that's the Kavod of the Mizbeach. These are two inyanim, that for the first year they have to turn right and they have to first turn to the east. And the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Samach Beis, derives them both from Psukim. The first Indian that you have turned to the right, the Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim by the Yamsha Asa Shlomo, that it says, Omid al Shneimas or Bakar, Shlosh Aponim Tzifonu, Shlosh Aponim Yamu, Shlosh Aponim Negvo, Shlosh Aponim Mizracha, Vahayam Aleya Milamaila. So it lists the Bakar that were holding the Yam, these statues that were holding up the Yamsha Shlomo, starting with the north, then the west, then the south, then the east. So when you go around it, you're always going from north to the west. It turns out that it's always to the right of a person. The second inyan that you could turn to the east, the Gemara derives from a different pasuk, from pasuk in Yecheskel about the Mizbeach, where it says umaloseha pinos kadim. So that when you go up in the Mizbeach, you turn toward the Mizrach, toward kadim. And the Drisha explains, because if someone wants to be Oker Raglov, he first picks up his right foot. In order to be mechabed his right foot, you start with the right side. So that's the two limudim that the Gemara sort of just throws together over here. Vayom alubeh emtzav yorid beemtzav. But over here on Yom HaKippurim, Kohen Gadol goes right up the middle of the ramp and goes down the middle of the ramp. So my timer, why is it that he's going to go up the middle of the ramp? Mishum kavodah the Kohen Gadol. It shows the kavod of the Kohen Gadol, the chashivus of the Kohen Gadol, that he's like a ben bayis, that he's allowed to take extra steps in the Beis HaMikdash. He's considered like a ben bayis in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shachter writes in his piece in Eretz HaTzvi and Kavod Beis HaKnesses that one should treat a Beis HaKnesses with that kavod also, that sometimes people get a little antsy in shul, so they just start wandering around during the davening, start walking around. So that's not right either. Just like you have to, you're not supposed to make yourself so comfortable, so much at home in the Beis HaMikdash that you can just walk around as much as you want. Only the Kohen Gadol Biyom HaKippurim is allowed to do so. So too, the person should, a person in shul should go to your seat and stay in your seat until the time for davening ends, and then you leave your seat instead of wandering around. But Chol Yom Kohen Gadol Mekadish Yadav Raglav Min HaKiyor. So each day the Kohen Gadol will be Mekadish Yadav Raglav from the Kiyor. So my time, why is it that Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol is not Mekadish Yadav Raglav from the Kiyor? He has a special pitcher of water that he washes his hands with. Mishum Kvodah Shel Kohen Gadol. gadol. It's a kavod of kohen gadol that he's mekadosh yad v'raglav from a special kli. But chol yom ha'yisham arba ma'arachos. Every other day, we said, according to Rav Meir, at least there were four ma'arachos, four fires on top of the mizbeach, and Yom Kippur there are five. So the Gemara brings a brisa. Why do I need so many fires? So Tana Rabbanan, b'chol yom. Hayu shtayim ma'arachos. This obviously is talking about the mizbeach hachitzon. So one shita is that there were two ma'arachos on the mizbeach hachitzon. Mizbeach hachitzon has three names. It's called the mizbeach hachitzon because it's in the azara outside of the heichal. It's called the mizbeach ha'ola because the carbon that they would bring on it every day is a carbon tamid, which is an olas tamid. And it's called the mizbeach hanachoshes because the mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Mishkan that corresponds to this mizbeach was made from atzei shittim and was metzupa with nechoshes. As opposed to the other Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaPnimi also has three names. It's called the Mizbeach HaPnimi because it's inside, it's in the Heichal. It's called the Mizbeach HaKtores because they would burn the Ketores on it every day. And it's also called the Mizbeach HaZahav because it was made from Atzei Shittim that was Metzupa B'Zahav, that was covered with gold. So anyway, so on the, now we're talking about the outer Mizbeach, the big Mizbeach. So there were two Ma'arachos every day. Vayom Shalosh, but in Yom Kippur there were three Ma'arachos. So why do they need all these Ma'arachos? One maracha that they had each and every day was the large maracha where they would bring all the karbanos. And the second one was a smaller maracha that would produce the coals from which they would take to burn the ketores in the mizbeach haprimi twice each and every day. Shachris v'arvis. So the coals had to come from a separate maracha. They couldn't come from the same maracha. And one extra one that they would have on Yom Kippur to take the coals to be makter the ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So Rabbi Yehuda holds it's two marachas the rest of the year, three marachas Yom Kippur, and the extra marachas to burn the ketores of Tanai V'Lefinim. Rabbi Yossi Omer B'chol Yom Shalosh. No, every day they would have three marachas and Vayom Arba, and there were four in Yom Kippur. Achas Shal Marach Gedol, Vachas Marach Shir Shal Ketores, Vachas Shal Kiyom Ha'esh. A third of the extra marach of Rabbi Yossi is one that would keep the fire going for the Maracha Gedola, that if it wasn't burning properly, they would take a chalim from this extra Maracha to rekindle the fire of the Maracha Gedola. So it was like an insurance policy for the Maracha Gedola. The Rishonim struggled with how this fit on the Mizbeach and the Choshes that Moshe Rabbeinu made, which was a much smaller Mizbeach, but not for now. Rabbi Meir Omer, that's the Gears of the Tosefta, it says Rabbi Omer, not Rabbi Meir, but the Rashash says that for sure the Girsa should be Rabbi Meir. So Meir Omer b'chol yom arba v'yom chamesh. No, typically they had four fires and they had five on Yom Kippur. Acha shal marach gedola v'acha shal marach shir shaktores v'acha shal kiyum ha'esh v'achas le'evarim u'pedarim. And then there was one for the evarim u'pedarim, the fats of the karbanos that they brought on the previous day, shalom nesaklumi be'erev, that didn't get entirely burnt the previous night. So they wouldn't keep them on the same ma'aracha on the top of the mizbeach. They would then bring them to this new ma'aracha. And then v'achshem asifin bo b'yom, then they would have an extra one that they would add for Yom HaKippurim. But to kuli alma miyas tarti isu, everyone seems to agree that there were at least two ma'arachas. So minalan, where do we get that from? Amar krak, because the pasuk says, hi ha'ola al-mota al-mizbeach kol ha'layla. So zo maracha gedola. Mokta is the mokta that we refer to over here, is the maracha gedola. And then the pasuk also says, ve'isha mizbeach tukad bo. So what's tukad? Zo maracha shir shal ketores. That must be a reference to the maracha shir shal ketores. Why does the ketores need its own maracha? After all, aren't there coals being produced from the maracha gedola? So most of the achronim and the rishonim explain, because those coals are a little grimy and gross, because they're burning all sorts of stuff on it. They're burning animals on it all night. So you want them for the coals that they're going to be makter the ketores, that they should be pure, they should be clean. So that's why they had a maracha shnir shal ketores. Rabbi Yossi, kiyum ha'esh minale. Where does Rabbi Yossi get this extra maracha for the kiyum ha'esh, just to keep the maracha gedola going? So nafkale, he derives it from miva ha'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. Rabbi Yehuda, and what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? Holatzasas alisa huda asa. That pasuk teaches me that they would light a splinter, they would light like a match to light the maracha. Titania, how Rabbi Yehuda Amar minayin latzas al disa. How do I know that there's a din of lighting a match? Shalotei el brosh mizbech. That you do that dafka on the rosh shal mizbech. You don't do it on the floor and then bring it up the mizbech. Tamalomar veish al mizbech tukad bo. That's from the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yosi minayin shos maracha lekiyam aish. Rabbi Yosi says, how do I know that there's this extra maracha to keep the fire going? Tamalomar veish al mizbech tukad bo. So from the lashon of Rabbi Yosi in the brisa, it sounds that he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda's din that they would light this match on the Rosh HaMizbech. If he disagreed, then the brisa should have said so. But that Rabbi Yosi Amar Loki, no, you're wrong. It doesn't say that. It sounds like he agrees to this din. He's just telling me that there's another din derived from this pasuk. So if Rabbi Yosi agrees to the din, Rabbi Yosi Atzat Salisa Minale, where does he learn this din from that you light the match on the top of the Mizbech? So Nafkele Mecha the Nafkele the Rabbi Shimon. He learns it from the same place Rabbi Shimon learns it from. Ditanya, the brisa explains. Pasuk says, that pasuk tells me about that it has to be with a kohen that's wearing the klisharis, wearing big day kuna, a kohen hadil wearing the dal begadim, or a kohen gadol wearing the shmona begadim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's not what the pasuk is telling me. According to you, Beishal Mizbech Tukar Bo tells me that the lighting of the match has to be Barosh HaMizbech V'chisal HaDaitach Shazor Karav L'Gabi Mizbech. If you have to light the match anyway on the top of the Mizbech, is there any Hava Mina that it's going to be done by a Zar? I need a Pasuk to tell me that it's a Kohen. A Zar is never found on the top of the Mizbech. It won't be anybody but a Kohen. Tulsa Rosh says, yeah, but maybe it's a Kohen not with the Big Day Kuhuna. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is telling me. So the Achronim say, Bizman Shem B'day Malei Men Kuhunas Malei. If it's a Kohen and he's on top of the Mizbech, of course he's wearing the Big Day Kuhuna. So Ella, so rather Rabbi Shimon says, Limeid ala tzasas alisa shalotei ala brosh shal mizbech. No, this is telling me the very din that the lighting of that match has to be done on the top of the mizbech. That's where Rabbi Shimon derives it from. And if that's where Rabbi Shimon derives it from, that's where Rabbi Yosi could derive that din from as well. Rabbi Yehuda, how's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to that kasha? Isn't it obvious that it's a kohen b'big day kuna? Who else could ever be on top of the mizbech? Now, Imei Hasam, if I would have derived it from that pasuk, Hava Amina, I would have thought that even the lighting of the match could be done, that it has to be at the Rosh HaMizbech, but it's Sheira Bazar, because he could do it by standing on the floor next to the Mizbech, and he could fan the Rosh HaMizbech with a large fan that will to light those extra pieces of splinters of wood. Meaning, in Echinami, the splinter of wood, the match, has to be lit on the top of the Mizbech, but maybe the person doing the lighting doesn't have to be on top of the Mizbech. Maybe you could do it by a zar standing next to the mizbech and fanning it to the point that it gets lit. So kamash milan, that's why the pasuk has to tell me v'nasam le'aron ha'kohen eish ala mizbech, that it's only kosher if it's done by a kohen. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that pasuk is also teaching me that the lighting of the match and the placing of the fire of the of hedyot, that it's only being done by a kohen and wearing the big day kahuna. This idea that there was a havamina that you would fan from the floor of the mizbech, from the floor next to the mizbech, is brought up in the oddest of places. There is a shaila in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Zayin Simen Ayin, where someone asked Dayan Weiss whether if a woman is a nida, is she allowed to fan her husband with a fan? If he's hot, can she use a fan to blow something cool air on her husband? So he says, you see that it is called a direct maisa when you're fanning air, because over here we're saying that there's a kiyum mitzvah of lighting this match, and you see that it's called the direct maisa. It's a little bit of an odd raya, because what does that have to do with a direct maisa or not a direct maisa? When it comes to Hilchos Nida, it's a matter whether it's derechibo, it's a matter whether it's considered to be something that's there. It's hard to say that that's called nagia, that that's called touching. There's a discussion in the Pisrei Tshuva in Simon Kuf Tzadi Hei whether if a woman notices that her husband has like a feather on his jacket, could she go over and blow it off of his jacket? Just just to get it off of his jacket. So Pesukei Teshuva quotes from the Minchas Yaakov that she's not allowed to do that. But then he said, he quotes from the Teshuva Sarah Karmel and from the Crazy Uplacy that are makel on that issue. So Diane Weiss is aware of that. And he says, yeah, but maybe this is worse because fanning is going directly on his body, not on his jacket. But then again, when she's blowing, it's coming directly from her body, from a fan is coming from an external kli. Okay, so that's what he quotes this Gemara. So says Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Meir, who said that every day there are four ma'arachos, Evar Mugdam Shalom Nusakumi Be'erev Min Nalei. How does he know that there's an extra fire dafka for the Evar Mugdam that didn't get burnt the previous night? So Nafkalei Mi Ve'esh. He learns from the Vav of Ve'esh. It says Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukad. So from that pasuk we learn that you make the ma'aracha Shnei Shal Ketores, and the extra Vav teaches us that there's an additional ma'aracha for the Evarim and Chalavim of the previous day that did not get burned. For Rabbanan, Vav lo darshi, and the Rabbanan simply don't darshin the extra letter Vav. Tosos in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Yudalid, says a lot of times when we say that certain people don't darshin something, it doesn't mean that they never darshin it. Meaning over here, who are the Rabbanan that we're referring to? It's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So we're saying Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda don't darshin Vav. Tosos shows you throughout Shas, yes they do, that they do have drashas from the word from the letter Vav. It's just that over here, they don't touch them. They don't think that this letter Vav is for a drasha. But because in Sanhedrin you see that Rabbi Yehuda darshins from the letter Vav, it's just that this drasha Vav, the Marach and Osefes from the Vav, they don't darshin. Okay, so Verabbanan and those shitas that hold that they don't have this extra fire for the Evarim that didn't get entirely burnt. So Evarim Ubdarm Shalom Sakul Bevarim Mayavadu. So what do they do with the Evarim Ubdarm that didn't get entirely burnt if you don't have an extra fire for it? So Mahadul Maracha Gedola, they would put it back in the Maracha Gedola together with all the other kabanos, the Tanya, because the Bryce, the Rambam, by the way, says that they would put a pitside maracha gedola, meaning the center of the maracha gedola is still for the new kabanos, but for yesterday's kabanos, it didn't get totally burnt. It went on the sides of the maracha gedola. The Tanya, minayin levarim ubdarm shlo nisaklu mibarev. How do I know that if you have a levarim ubdarm that were not entirely burnt, shesodal mizbeach, that you should arrange them al gabi mizbeach on top of the mizbeach in order that you're able to put them on the meaning they would arrange them in the morning on the tzidei mizbeach in order that they should be able to arrange the maracha gedola on the top of the mizbeach. The ein machzikan of the tzidei mizbeach is not large enough to hold all of these evarim and chalavim from the previous day. Shesodran ala kevesh, that they would then arrange them on the ramp al gabi soviv or on the soviv around the mizbeach ad shiasa maracha gedola, until they would make the new maracha gedola v'sodran, and then they'd be mesadda the evarim and the chalavim on top of the maracha gedola. Because the pasuk says, "Asher tochal eish ha'ola ala mizbeach." So that pasuk is talking about the trumas hadeshen that they take from the leftover evarei ha'ola that were burnt and consumed by the fire. But when it says ala mizbeach, that seems to be extra because this idea that the evarim that they were makti on the mizbeach is already mentioned in the previous pasuk that they would burn it all night. So ala mizbeach is coming to tell me that there's another nesina ala mizbeach of these evarim of the karbanos, and that's on the ma'arach of the mizbeach if they weren't entirely consumed by the fire the previous night. So says Mar Rabbi Meir, or Meir who holds that they get their own ma'aracha and they're not just put back on the same ma'aracha. What does the pasuk teach me when it says Esa'ola al hamizbeach? Ikule ola atamachzir v'atamachzir ikule ktaris. It's coming to tell me that a varim of carbon ola that went off of the mizbeach achitzon and are not yet entirely burnt, you have to put them back on the ma'aracha in order to get them burnt. But ikule ktaris, parts of ktaris that were not entirely burnt, you do not put back on. They just put them, they're just gonies them in a place where people won't step on them because they're kadosh, but they don't go back on the mizbech. So the Gemara brings a raya from the Braisa that we darshan in this pasuk in this way. Ditani Rabbi Chanan ben Manyumi b'debei Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov asher tochle eishes ha'ola ala mizbech ikule ola atamachzir v'atamachzir ikule ketara. So you see the Braisa says that we darshan from this pasuk that you only put back the ikule ola on the mizbech hachitzon, but you don't put back the ikule ketara on the mizbech hapnimi, meaning the parts of the carbonola get burnt on the mizbech hachitzon. So obviously the parts of the Ketores gets burnt on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but only that which was burnt on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, if it comes off, gets returned. That which comes off on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Ketores comes off on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, does not get returned. To Kuli Almamias, but everyone seems to agree that Mosif and Baba Yom Islam, that however many fires you hold, there are the rest of the year on the top of the Mizbeach, 2, 3, 4, the different Shittos in Tanaim, but everyone holds there's an extra one in Yom HaKippurim. Minalahu, where do we get that from, that there's an extra fire on top of the Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim? So Nafgalu, they derive it from Va'esh, that Pasuk said, Mi Va'esh, from the extra Vav and He in the word Va'esh. Pasuk says, Va'esh al Mizbeach tukad bo. Va'afil l'mandalo dorish Vav, because even if you're not going to darshan Vav of Va'esh al Mizbeach tukad bo, as far as the Maracha for the Avarim and the Chalavim of the previous day, but Vav and He, darish. You will darshan the combination of the Vav and He, and therefore there's definitely going to be an extra fire that's on the Mizbeach on Yom HaKippurim. Rashi writes that the reason they made this extra maracha is in order to take a chalim to be makta the ketores lefnai v'lefnim. However, the Rambam writes that the reason they have this extra maracha is to be mahader the mizbeach ula atro, to make the mizbeach more beautiful. So according to the Rambam, they would take the chalim for the ketores lefnai v'lefnim from the maracha shnei shel ketores, meaning this fire didn't really have any function according to Shitas Rambam. So the Achronim point out, though, that it's a beferish tosefta, that this maracha, this extra maracha, was for the ketores that was brought lefnai v'lefnim. So the Kutei Halachos, the Chafetz Chaim writes that the Rambam was also moda that it was to take the gechalim lefnai v'lefnim. It's just the Rambam wanted to know, why did I need an extra maracha for that? Why couldn't I just use the regular maracha that they would have maracha shiyosh l'ketores in order to burn the gechalim, in order to burn the ketores lefnai v'lefnim? So the Rambam is describing why I had an extra maracha for that. It didn't really serve a function that I couldn't have otherwise served. No, but they wanted to make an extra fire because it's Yom Kippur, so in Yom Kippur they should have a little bit more going on top of the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara, after it explains the makar for all the marachas, all the shittas of Tanaim, so and we darshan each time it says mokad for a separate maracha. So we now darshan another pasuk where it says mokad by the fire of the maracha. So it says eish tamid. It says eish tamid to come zeich lo sichpe. So the mai asa. What's the pasuk teaching me? Mi bai leilich detanya for the following teaching of a brisa. And the girsa over here, according to most, is the eish hamizbeach tukad bo li made al. That the Maracha Shnei Shel Ketores has to be on the Mizbeach Chitzon, not on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Eish, and the Braisa adds, Eish Machta, the Eish that they would use for the Machta and Yom HaKippurim, that they would burn the Ketores and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Menorah, Menorah Minayin, and the Eish that they would take from the Mizbeach HaChitzon for lighting the Menorah. How do I know that they would take it from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that they would light the Ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim, and they would light the Menorah each and every day using a fire that was taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon? It's a Dinhu. It's a Kal V'Chomer. Nemra Eish, it's a Memetzina rather. Nemra Eish B'Ketores. It says the word Eish in the context of Ketores. V'nemra Eish b'machta, and it says b'machta menorah, and it says the term Eish both by the machta and the menorah. It happens to not say Eish by Ketores. It says v'yikter olavaran Ketores hamim b'boker b'tivas aneris yakterena. So it's just that it says v'yikter and in a Ketora below Eish. So that's ki'ilu it says Eish. So it says kinda says Eish by Ketores, and it says Eish by the machta and the menorah. So mala alan, just like by the Ketores on Zvech Chitzon, the fire that burns, that's gonna, the coals that are going to burn the Ketores come from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Avkan on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so too of here comes from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. O Kalech L'Darach Zu, or maybe you could have said differently. Nemer Eish B'Ketores, Nemer Eish B'Machto Menorah. Mal Alan B'Samach Lo, maybe just like by the Ketores, they would bring the Gecholim from the closest place to bring them, which happens to be the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Saaf Machto Menorah B'Samach Lo. Maybe you should have to bring the fire for the Machto and the Menorah from the closest place, which is the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and not the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Tabalomer Eish Tomet that since it calls an Eish Tamid, the Eish Tamid is dafka by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because Maracha Gdolah that was on the Mizbeach, that from there they would take for lighting the menorah, because the whole parsha there is talking about the Mizbeach HaOla, which is the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So the Manu Eish LeMenorah, that only tells me about the Eish Tamid of the menorah. Eish LeMachta, but Minayin, how do I know that the Eish for the Machta, for the burning of the Ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim, is also going to be taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon? Vidinu, We learn from a different Mematzinu. Nemra Eish b'machta. It says Eish by the machta of the Yom HaKippurim. It says V'lokach mo machta gachle Eish. V'nemra Eish b'menorah. It says Eish by menorah. It says Lalos ner tamid. So Mala Alan al gabi mizbeach chitzon. Just like the Eish of the menorah comes from the mizbeach chitzon. Afkan al mizbeach chitzon. So the Eish b'machta of the Yom HaKippurim comes from the mizbeach chitzon. Yeah, o kolach l'derech zu. Or maybe you could say it in the other way. Nemra Eish b'ktoris v'nemra Eish b'machta. It says Eish b'ktoris and it says Eish b'machta. Malalan b'samachlo, just like by the ktoris, it's brought from that which is closest to it. The ktoris is in the mizbeach ha'pnim in the heichal. So the makom of the Eish on the mizbeach ha'chitzon is the closest to the heichal. So afkan by the Eish b'machta of Yom HaKippurim b'samachlo, it should come from the mizbeach ha'pnimi because that's what's closest to it. So tamalomer v'lokach malamachta gachli Eish me'al mizbeach milufnei Hashem. So we darshan that it means Eish mizbeach shem ktsas lufnei Hashem vein kulo lufnei Hashem. Since the pasuk seems to be indicating it's taken from a mizbeach that's partially lifnei Hashem, but not entirely lifnei Hashem, haviyam mizbeach chitzon must be referring to the mizbeach chitzon, because the mizbeach hapnimi is entirely lifnei Hashem because it's entirely inside the heichal. The mizbeach chitzon, which is in the azara outside of the heichal, is not entirely lifnei Hashem. Only the western portion of it is samach to the heichal. So from there we learn that you take the gecholim for the macht of Yom Kippurim dafka from mizbeach chitzon. Vishuk l'mitzvah me'al mizbeach, vishuk l'mitzvah milifnei Hashem, and we need both psukim. Dikas rachmana me'al mizbeach, have a mean my mizbeach pnimi. If it would have said me'al mizbeach, I would think it means the mizbeach pnimi. Chas rachmana milifnei Hashem. That's why it says milifnei Hashem that only something that's mitzasa lifnei Hashem, which is mizbeach chitzon. Because Rachmana milfnei Hashem, have amina dafka milfnei Hashem, that it has to dafka come from the portion of the mizbeach that's connected the pesach of the heichal. Avul mehay gisa, but to bring it umehay gisa, but to bring it from either of the other parts of the mizbeach that are not connected the heichal emalau, I think it's no good. So tzricha, that's why the Torah tell me me'al mizbeach, tell me that any part of the mizbeach you could take the gecholim for, and it doesn't only have to be the part that's connected the pesach of the heichal. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, pick up two lines on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.